For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tip of the Tower podcast. David Morcetti here with Austin Owens, and we have not been in a been talking or have not talked about Kawhi Leonard leaving.
Yeah.
Because the last podcast we did was when I, the night I got back from my trip till July 3rd, we were, that was when the helicopter was following the SUV.
That was the day, yeah.
That was the day. That was the day Kawhi decided he had enough of Toronto. No, that was not the reason.
I mean, I think that's probably why he was there, to tell them that he wasn't coming back.
If he, that's what he did.
If that was even him that they were following.
Maybe he was just telling them, like, look, I'm planning on going to L.A. You know, the whole Paul George thing was still going on, probably, in the background. But, man, I know it's been a while, and I know people probably either moved on with the whole Kawhi stuff.
Yeah.
But, man, we had this impression about Kawhi, and kind of changed a little bit for me, just thinking that he had this master plan to team up with someone and go to L.A. Like, we thought, you know, he was different. He was all about, you know what? I was about to say something that I was ultimately immediately going to regret. But, like, I think people got this different sense of Kawhi being different than other NBA superstars. And he still is. He still is. He's not public about it. You know, he's not like LeBron when it comes to recruiting. But the fact that he did go out and try to recruit someone to go and join him in L.A. and all that, I think it just reminds you of, just reminds us that there's certain circumstances are out of anyone's control.
Yeah,
it's disappointing. I know it's disappointing that
I'm just trying to put it in a way that's like, we knew what the chances were of this happening. We knew right from the minute he was traded here that there was a chance he was going to leave eventually. Exactly. We were all preparing for it the entire year. It stings because
you saw how happy he was with the team. And
you
everything.
Won a championship, so you kind of figure they could run it back and do it again, because why would you leave the team that won the championship? But, I mean, his heart was in L.A., and it is what it is. I wouldn't turn down a chance to go play alongside Paul George. Those are two of the best defensive players in the game.
I mean, but like, you know, people are saying, oh, the Raptors are probably a better team than the Clippers. And you know what? You can argue that the core around, yeah. But when you have Paul George and Kawhi.
And Patrick Beverley as well. Like, that's a, yeah, that's a pain in the ass on defense to play against.
Yeah, that's going to be, like, you know, when you look at the West, a lot of changes. Like, this was like a trick.
This offseason in general.
Kawhi broke the league with with his decision. Because, you know, I think teams just realize you go for it now. Like, you know, certain teams are like, you look at Houston making the move for Westbrook, which I love because, you know, I think Westbrook, you know, he gets a bad rap. And I know, like, he's a very selfish player and all that. But I put him and Harden together. I'm very curious to see how that works.
That's going to be the biggest sideshow in sports this year, I would say.
And then you got the Lakers, and they're you know, with LeBron, they're going to be a playoff team with Anthony Davis if they can, if their core or the guys around them can at least play.
LeBron's good, but they put all their baskets, all their eggs, excuse me, in the Kawhi basket and lost out on almost every other big free agent to put around LeBron.
My question is, how many free agents were they really going to be in for to get? Like, they got Danny Green. Know. That was always a thing.
But, like, LeBron's starting at point guard now.
But you know what? Like, people talk about that, and I did some research. Like, he's played point guard before.
Oh, yeah. He gets the ball inbounded to him on every other possession. It's not like he's not used to it.
It's just also means, because you can't have him and Anthony Davis working on the inside there. Like, Anthony Davis is going to dominate the paint.
Yeah.
LeBron's going to be the kind of the facilitator on offense, which is what he likes to do.
Yeah.
I think, did they miss out on...
They got Danny Green, but...
They didn't really get... Yes, I understand. They didn't get much else.
I'm worried Avery about the Lakers when they're not on the floor. And LeBron or AD is going to be on the floor pretty much all the time. But it's going to be with...
With LeBron, I don't see that happen. He's going to need his rest.
Oh, absolutely. LeBron's not going to play 40 minutes a night in the regular season.
Yeah.
But when he's not on the floor, AD is going to be on the floor. There's going to be one of them, because you can't just have... Like, there's guys that they're going to have to pay veteran minimums to, and like they're basically, all due respect to that, whoever's on the Lakers, but they're going to be running spare parts other than AD, LeBron, and Danny.
Yeah, I mean,
because they gave up their whole roster, their whole bench to get Kawhi
to Davis. You mean?
Oh, and to get Davis, but they also traded away a bunch of their depth pieces to free up space for Kawhi on cap.
That's also true, but I'm. I mean, when you look at the Raptors, let's bring it to the Raptors, because I know everyone wants to know where they stand. Yeah, you lose your superstar in Kawhi.
I still really like the Raptors.
You still like what the Raptors can do in
the East. The roster looks good. I mean, all they did was sign a couple of guys that can't really shoot, but they can lock guys down on defense.
Masai.
Winning 75-70 every night. They'll be fine. They can score.
I'm interested in that guy they signed from the EuroLeague.
Yes, and there's also Terrence Davis, Dejuan Hernandez. There's a couple really interesting.
This is going to be a young team.
Yes, very much.
Yeah,
I mean, it might be the youngest starting five in the NBA.
I don't rule out the potential.
Oh, actually, no. I'm sorry. I'm discounting the fact that Ibaka and Lowry and Gasol are all still going to be there. So they will not be the youngest starting five in the league.
No, they won't. But
they'll be young though.
I think if Dejuan, you think about what. Even if they don't contend or are not, don't go far in the playoffs, when you got a guy like Marc Gasol who's going to be mentoring a guy like Hernandez, when you got Lowry who's going to be, again, working with Fred VanVleet, because you assume that Fred VanVleet's going to be the guy to...
He's the sixth man for sure.
Yeah.
And he's so good.
Who could potentially move up if Lowry is not there anymore.
And
then you got Serge who's... Serge is probably the most underrated guy when it comes to the way he is with the team. We're starting to see more of his personality now because he's
so funny.
His Twitter, Instagram, all of his social media. Mafuzzi chef. In Italy having a better time than me, apparently. Just enjoying his...
I mean, when you make as much as he does, you better hope he's having a better time than normal people.
Exactly.
And 25 mil a year... offers you the chance to have a good time.
And we're also forgetting about the two guys that the Masai has kept around despite every team in the NBA offering a deal for them, which is Pascal and OG.
Yep.
Masai has delivered. He has all the rumored trade offers for Pascal and OG, and Masai has said no. Because he believes that those two guys can be big contributors.
Absolutely. And, I mean... Shout out to the Clippers because they did what needed to be done. But what was it? 5 first round picks and their two best prospects they gave up?
Yeah.
For one player.
And
2 years. 2 years of that. You've given up 5 years of your future and your current core of young stars now.
But the Clippers, in LA, they don't care too much about that. They care about the star talent and contending.
LA is never, Toronto's never been to the finals before this year.
Yeah,
the Clippers are the same way. They've made the conference final before, haven't they?
I believe so. With when Griffin and
Chris they've never Paul made the down. Final though. So
no,
is it worth it? Yes, because you're probably. I mean, am I wrong to say that they have a 50% chance of getting out of the West?
Probably
or 33. I would say if you add in Harden and Westbrook.
I would say Golden State still has a chance. even with just Curry. Clay. Well, because
they'll be a playoff.
D'Angelo Russell is a low key. Sure, he's not of the caliber of a Kevin Durant, obviously, but he's still good enough that as long as the Warriors get into the playoffs, they may not get the higher seed. But hey, if they're the lower seed, Clay comes back. They're going to get underestimated, I think. I think the whole NBA is kind of...
Yeah, if Clay comes back...
Golden State, I think you're kind of feeling what the Raptors are feeling, is that once everything is gone, people kind of throw you aside.
Nobody feels bad for Golden State, though.
I don't feel bad for the Raptors. I'm just finding it pretty hilarious how they're kind of stuck in the same situation as the Raptors, which is as soon as the star is gone... The relevancy changes, too.
That's unfortunate. They can...
But, I mean, when you look at the Raptors...
They can wipe it away with their three rings.
The only way you're scared of the East is when Kevin Durant gets healthy and he's on Brooklyn.
And that won't happen until next season?
Probably not until next season. I have faith that Pascal can get to the point where he may not be on the same levels as Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant, I argue, is 1-2 with LeBron.
Kevin Durant's the best shooter.
Yeah.
Steph Curry or Klay Thompson.
And maybe Kawhi, too, because we've seen it. He probably put himself as top player in the league this season, in the playoffs at least.
Kawhi, yeah, he's a top five, I would say.
Oh, top three,
but in my KD's, opinion. I would say,
KD is
when healthy, he's possibly better than LeBron.
I would say so,
yeah. Right now. Not in general, like I'm not putting him up in the GOAT conversation or anything like that, but like his LeBron's play. Aging and KD's just, he can score from anywhere.
Exactly.
He's the best player. He's the best pure scorer, I would say, all around.
And yeah, that probably worries you. Like Miami got Jimmy Butler, but they don't really have much else that gets me worried.
No.
Philly, yeah. Did Philly lost Butler, but... They made some moves.
That team is just...
But that team is going to be discombobulated, I think, because you're relying on Ben Simmons.
The team doesn't have their best three-point shooter or perimeter shooter is Al Horford.
Horford and
Tobias Harris.
Tobias Harris.
But you're going to have Ben Simmons running ISO and then kicking out to one of the four guys standing on the perimeter waiting to spot up.
Yeah, and Ben Simmons, with the money he's being paid, should be doing a more offensively.
Ben Simmons better learn how to shoot sooner than later.
Yeah. And then you look at Boston. They lost Kyrie. They got Kemba. They lost Horford. Hayward's going to probably be...
Well, Hayward hasn't really panned out in Boston. But he's going to be a free agent after this year.
So maybe he's... I think Boston will make... Like if you look at Boston, will make the playoffs. I think Miami will. Philly, Toronto, Brooklyn. Like, is there a team in the East that low-key got better and we just didn't realize it? I don't see it.
I mean,
Detroit, maybe
Brooklyn for sure got better because Kyrie's.
But they made the playoffs, so it's not like they're going to the.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that, but they're probably even with just Kyrie, they're probably a top five seed, I would think. Maybe I'm just overestimating the Nets.
I mean, DeAndre Jordan also.
He's a guy.
But I feel like it's not going to be enough to put them in the contending spot without Kevin Durant. Like the whole reason why everyone...
Oh, they win the East outright if KD's healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no way.
No. So I'm curious to see how that works out. But I think the Raptors... Look, Raptors fans, we got the championship.
Yeah.
Masai made the right move. You don't doubt that.
You know why I'm not crying over Kawhi? Because he did his damn job and got us a chip.
Yeah. And it wasn't like he was, you know... miserable at all. Like look back, he was goddamn happy to be there. He was happy to be a part of that team. It's just, you know, he was professional about it.
Yeah.
Something that we don't often see with Toronto stars.
You know, yeah. Well, everyone just goes back to, you know, VC left us and Chris Bosh left us. Tracy McGrady left us. Everybody leaves us.
Even the Blue Jays players, like, you know, even when we had the star players, it wasn't always, you know, when we had Donaldson, when he was at his best, was a god in this city.
Yeah.
When Jose Bautista and Edward, it was, but there was still that, you know, there wasn't that satisfaction. With Kawhi, it was, and I put that tweet out on the tip of the Tarcon, like he promised to bring a championship. Maybe I should have worded it as he promised that he was going to play
towards
a championship.
He brought
But he brought them a championship that, would not have come if he wasn't there. Let's be real here. He put them over the top. Even if Pascal took the steps he did, it wouldn't have been enough. Because we saw that they needed Kawhi against the Bucks. They needed Kawhi against the Sixers.
They needed Kawhi in every step of the way.
Yeah.
They would not have won as many games as they had.
And I forgot about Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That's the team I forgot.
But no, Milwaukee, definitely they needed him against because somebody needed to guard Giannis.
But when I look at Milwaukee, they're probably going to be a top three seed. I argue they didn't get any better because they lost.
That Chris Middleton contract's just a mess.
Yeah. So. But Giannis is still Giannis.
Giannis might not be Giannis in Milwaukee in a couple of years.
You know, and if you're a Raptors fan, that's probably something
2021 is what you're looking towards as a Raptors fan. And you're getting through the next two seasons, and you're hoping the Raptors land someone.
Exactly. And look,
I don't think it's going to be Kawhi.
But if you look at if you look at players that are coming out in 2021, Kawhi would probably want to stay in LA.
I would think so. When LeBron's up, so maybe. Kawhi goes to the Lakers? I don't really.
I don't think he has.
He goes to Sacramento.
No, I think he wants to stay in.
He'd probably stay with the Clippers, but then he'll get more money.
The Lakers are a different animal
Absolutely. The Clippers. But they're in the same building, so the Clippers are going to be just as crazy this year.
They will be, and he's going. But I think
because bandwagon fans are just going to jump right onto the Clippers.
But I'm curious to see how Giannis pull. I mean, that's like a conversation
you've got
we'll have in a couple of years.
Giannis, you've got Bradley Beal, who's been connected to the Raptors somewhat.
That's Jake. Jake will die.
Lucky Jake's not on here.
Jake will sacrifice whatever he has to. He probably would. You just see how every time he's adamant of trying to get Bradley Beal. And look, if the Raptors had pulled off a deal to get Bradley Beal, I would have been happy. But that would have
cost them a lot. And let's be fair here. I mean, I'm sure Uncle Dennis, which can we just call him Dennis? Like,
yeah, can we? Kawhi's uncle.
Either
call him Kawhi's uncle or Dennis. He's not our uncle.
Masai that's like, we talk to Uncle Dennis. It's like, okay, you can just say Kawhi's uncle.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I'm sure he was asking for the same thing. Go get us Paul George. Go get us Player A. Get us. Even though they won with that, and what they wanted was apparently four first rounders. What was it, Van Vliet and Siakam? Or just Siakam?
No, it was Van Vliet too.
That's a joke.
That is a joke.
You should be laughed out of the building. Like, you hang up immediately for the Raptors. It makes sense for the Clippers because they haven't been there.
And this idea that Westbrook was coming too in that deal, no way.
Well, the original headline said that they were going to give up George and Westbrook for Siakam, the alert I got. And I was like, Jesus, that is a haul.
I don't think Masai had wanted anything to do with Westbrook. Because
I'm sure.
We know Kawhi wanted nothing to do with Westbrook.
No. There's not a lot of people in this league that want
the money would not have worked. Let's be real here. That's three guys making max money.
And they wouldn't have taken any contracts back.
No, they'd have to. They'd have to take Lowry. They'd have to take Serge.
You would think. But that's just a long, complicated deal that nobody wants to do.
No.
Because it takes so long to just get the deal done
that
it doesn't
And that's
make
why.
Sense.
And besides, like, it doesn't guarantee Kawhi stays.
No, if you make that move, you give up your two best players in four first rounds. And two pick swaps. That's what they got for George.
Yeah.
And you don't land Kawhi still? You're stuck with two guys that don't want to play together in Westbrook and George.
And two guys that...
And you lose two guys that were part of your future.
Yeah.
And four other guys that were also possibly going to be okay.
Exactly. And
the way Masai drafts.
The way that Masai and the Raptors were thinking this is that for the last few years, they had invested in their core. And like the guy, like the Lowry, DeRozan.
Yeah.
Then they decide, okay, DeRozan isn't getting it done for us. We want Kawhi. The Spurs magically said, we'll take DeRozan from you. DeRozan's
Kawhi
a good
and
player,
Danny
but
Green.
We'll give you Kawhi and Danny Green. You give us, I mean, look, Kawhi
we also
was
gave
on,
up Jakob Poirel.
Game of Zones was pretty good.
Hello.
I think, like, look, the Raptors, when you look at the Kawhi trade, yeah, you gave up a DeRozan who was, I think he signed for another year. I think this is the last year of his deal. Please don't start the whole bring DeRozan back.
It was like every single person that's like born in Toronto that like loved DeRozan that was on that train is like, man, Kawhi's an idiot. We should have kept DeRozan. It's like,
no.
Let's talk for a second about that. How far do the Raptors make it in the playoffs with DeRozan on their roster and no Danny Green?
Maybe they probably make this. I think they went around or maybe
two. I think the Magic pushed them to 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Just because that era of Raptors basketball, they never made things easy on themselves.
No.
Even Milwaukee a couple of years ago when Giannis was just getting started.
And that's,
they pushed them to 6.
And that's probably something I'm a little worried about is, are the Raptors...
We're not celebrating a chip right now if DeMar DeRozan's still playing for the Raptors. No. We're talking about another second round exit because they don't win that Philly series with DeRozan the way he shoots in the playoffs.
And Philly would have been the better team regardless.
Yeah.
Because they have Jimmy
You're going
Jimmy
in
Butler.
As the lower seed against Philadelphia.
Probably.
And maybe even... No, Boston actually was terrible last season, but...
Yeah, Boston...
I won't say that.
Well, I mean, Kyrie was injured and just discombobulation all around.
That was a mess last season.
But... yeah, so
but no, DeRozan's not your king. He is a great player.
It would have been great if it would have been great if DeRozan was able to do that for the Raptors.
If DeRozan, oh man,
if like nobody's saying we didn't want DeRozan to be the guy. Everyone wanted DeRozan to be the guy. It's just he did not have the talent that Kawhi had when it comes to the defensive game and the shooting. Like his shooting is
Kawhi is the most. I'm trying to think of a way to say this because I say it a lot when we're just hanging out. He's the most effortless superstar that I've ever seen. Like, he just makes everything look so easy.
Yeah.
I've never seen another player that can do that. Maybe, like, the top guys, but not in Toronto.
Never.
You never see a guy that just spots up in a guy's face and it's pure.
Has DeRozan have those type of games before? Yeah.
Yeah, he's had takeover games.
He's had dominant performances, but never of that.
He's never had dominant two-way performances or not consistently.
Yeah. It's not like where you're worried about what, you know, can the Raptors pull this off and Kawhi, you know, makes that steal or makes the block or... There's just plays that Kawhi makes that not many players in the NBA.
That team with DeRozan on it this year... They would have made it as difficult as possible on themselves against the Magic, and they probably would have lost pretty quickly to the Sixers. Like, maybe 5.
Potentially, yeah.
It sounds bad, but that's all due respect to DeMar. It's just...
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi's a different animal, man.
Yeah, and we will miss him, but you have to move on. You know, it's a business, and I think...
The team's not going to be bad this year.
Yeah, I love what Nick Nurse's reaction was. He said, I was watching an Elton John performance.
Yeah.
Guy playing Elton John at a bar. He saw the news on his phone, put the phone down, continued watching. Like, you can't let that bother you.
No.
Yeah, was he probably not happy? Sure, you're not happy about losing guy that made your job
happy
easier.
Nobody's about losing a finals MVP.
Well, and potentially also losing your assistant coach who played a big role in your development too. Phil Handy, I think, has a...
I believe so.
Reportedly being poached by the Lakers.
Yeah.
Of course, but, you know, he wanted a role where he was, what's the word I'm looking for, but...
more involved, I would assume.
Yeah, more prominent, like, not being...
He wasn't, I don't know if he was one of the top assistants or what his job was, but, yeah.
He was more the development guy, he wasn't the guy
you really see on the bench, he wasn't Sergio... For drawing his bank, is it Spagnuolo?
Yeah, I think Spagnuolo, I believe, is his name.
Yeah. He's not like the guys that get interviewed all the time. And so that's fine. Whatever. It is what it is. The team's still going to be good. Like, 7-8 seed is not, especially in this Eastern Conference, it could even be better. It could be a 6, could be a 5. Who knows the way the season shakes out. I think the Raptors, I read, were something like 17-4 without Kawhi in the lineup last season when he was rested. Mm-hmm. Like, you haven't lost anyone other than Kawhi and Danny, but like Danny, somebody's going to have to pick up Danny's production. It is what it is. But this team's not, we're not rebuilding now. You have pieces. Masai's drafted well. Terrence Davis looks okay. Like, I'm not saying Terrence Davis is going to be this, like, he's going to walk
in
and
just be. If
he
turns into another Fred VanVleet type player.
Yeah, exactly. Happy. You take chances on those guys, and Masai's hit on a couple of them. Norm being one, Fred VanVleet being another.
He might spend some time in the G League.
Pascal's a star now. He was a 27th overall pick.
An emerging star. Yeah, I don't think he's there yet, but he's an emerging star.
I mean, when guys in the U.S. are talking about you, like, in the same breath as Kawhi, like, it would have been very easy for ESPN to just focus right on Kawhi. Like, Siakam was taking headlines in the U.S.
He was.
So he's an emerging star, you're right. But
yeah,
he's there.
He's getting there. I think we need to see him do it without a Kawhi before we can give him the title.
You just need to be more consistent off the bench. I think that's the biggest thing for the Raptors. Yeah. Is if that bench is
and
fine,
built, you're and good. You that's what big thing they've addressed this summer is their bench because it was depleted.
Oh man, yeah. Like I don't know how they're gonna run the lineup, but Hollis Jefferson and Johnson off the bench, Stanley Johnson, they're both gonna be very nice.
You're not gonna get scored on a lot. I think that was an issue. Is defense was an issue.
If you can put up points as well as stop the opposition with your bench unit and buy time for your guys to get some rest, the starters, you're fine.
Exactly. So I
as like, long as you're not getting blown out.
I like the direction they're going. I like that there wasn't any panic moves. That's the thing you don't want to see when you lose a star player is a panic move. I mean,
out of the New York Knicks.
Oh my goodness. Poor Stephen A. Smith. I actually felt sorry for him that day, and then just remember all the bad things he said about Toronto, about the Raptors.
Yeah, I felt bad for Stephen A., and then I remembered that he said he doesn't want to see the NBA championship in Canada ever again.
Then I just went, yeah, no, your Knicks deserve to be...
Go Brooklyn.
Terrible. So at least the Raptors are not the Knicks. That's one thing I will say.
I mean, yeah.
So
they have RJ Barrett. There's a lot of people saying that RJ is just going to sign in Toronto as soon as he gets the chance. That would be very nice.
I'm going to love that one.
But that's
happens.
The same group that also said Andrew Wiggins was going to do the exact same thing. And we would be quite terrified if Andrew Wiggins signed in Toronto right now.
Right now, yes. Because
he's a bit of a... Minnesota's stunted him a little bit.
I think he's stunted himself a little bit,
also, yes. It's not just on Minnesota, but...
I think the hype of him being a number one pick and the tanking for Wiggins.
Also, shout out to Anthony Bennett.
Back in the league.
Yeah, good for him. People were upset.
He is with...
Houston. Signed, I think, a league minimum?
Yeah.
With Houston? Good for him, man.
But he's guaranteed an NBA spot, I believe.
It's good for him.
Good for him.
Hopefully it works out.
We thought he was done with the league.
He signed, what was it, a G League contract, and he was on the Raptors bench a couple years ago? Like, that looked like it was it. Like, he was going to go to Europe and just play there for a while, and he did. But then he came back, and he did really well in the G League last year.
Put in the work, and you can get to places, that's for sure.
Everybody loves a comeback story, so let's see if we can write one.
Yeah. So where do we want to go next? Do we want to go Leafs or do we want to go Blue Jays?
There's nothing to talk about with the Leafs. You want to touch on the one thing that happened today with the Leafs?
Well, I mean, William Nylander channeling his inner Eric Lindros and changing the number. I love it, though.
I love it, too. I hate people, though.
You hate Twitter people, not people. You hate Twitter.
No, I love people in person. Twitter people are the absolute worst. It's the same group of people that were like, Josh Hosang's disrespecting Mario Lemieux by wearing 66. It's like,
playing for the New York Islanders.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Half the defensemen in the league wear number 4. I don't see anybody crapping on them for disrespecting Bobby Orr.
True. Or anyone wearing number 9.
I have an Eric Lindros jersey from the Leafs.
Oh, I remember.
He was traded immediately after that. You talk about
where was he traded to, by the way? Was it Dallas?
Probably. Who knows? I'll look it up.
I'm going to look that up.
You talk about a cup of coffee with a team? Like, who the hell cares? Shout out to Eric Lindros, because he's a great hockey player.
Oh, he's...
He spent less than 3 seasons with the Leafs.
Let's see.
Gives a shit?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know. And I made the joke. I made the joke in our chat, and I didn't realize people were actually...
Yeah, I know. It's an actual thing that people are upset about, that he's disrespecting Eric Lindros.
Yeah, you're not disrespecting Eric Lindros.
Eric Lindros' number is not retired with the Leafs.
Oh, so this is how it went. He played for the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get traded. So what happened was Eric Lindros, unfortunately, what kept him from being as good of a player as he should have been was injuries.
We'd be talking about him as like a top 10 player all time if he was healthy.
Yeah.
He
played 33 games with the Leafs.
Total?
Total. He had an injury, I remember that.
Do me a favor and shut your damn mouth about William Nylander disrespecting a guy that played 30 goddamn games for the organization.
You know, it's just when people associate numbers, they try to associate with a player, and...
That number's not retired.
It's not.
I'm not saying this because, like, I'm defending William Nylander at every chance I get, because he's a damn good hockey player, but my God, The guy played less than half a season for your organization. And you're upset that somebody's wearing his number 10 years later?
Ooh, I just realized something. What? So, you know, I don't know if you know this guy on Twitter, Andrew Nielsen, not the hockey player.
the defenseman?
No, the guy. The guy I think he has cerebral palsies, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I see his stuff all the time.
He got shoes made. This was back on July 17th, 2012? Was it 2012? Or maybe, no, sorry, maybe it was July 12, 2017. That would make a lot more sense because Nylander was not a Leaf in 2012. So Andrew got these special, these are kick-ass shoes, man.
Are they what, Lindro Leaf shoes?
No, no. On the back is, has his name Andrew, yeah. And the number is 29.
Oh. Wow.
So, because in the tweet, he says, check out the shoes I got made for, he got made for me too. Maybe Nylander will sign them for me, number 29. But you know what? I think he'll.
It is what it is.
Yeah, but
I'll keep saying it. It is what it is. Honestly, as fans, you buy jerseys and buy memorabilia and all that, and you hope. Like when I buy a jersey, I hope I base it on a player that's not going to get traded. Hopefully, and my first jersey I got with this new regime was a Marner jersey. Don't know what's going to happen with him. Don't really care to talk about it today. Because there's people every day, Marner quotes on like Fan 590 and all these shows from people they have on of like, oh, Mitch Marner, I don't know, he wants 11.6. Maybe he wants 11.5. Let's talk about it for 5 hours. It's like, oh, it's so tiring with Marner. Like, You know it's going to go until September.
Yeah, this is not being resolved. Only way it does is if Kyle Dubas puts pressure on the
camp. We were talking yesterday about which European team Ferris is going to threaten to send Marner to. Because it'll get to that stage. Like a couple weeks before training camp. Mitch Marner's suddenly going to go sign with Avangard Omsk in the KHL. It's like, sure. He and Slava Voyanov are going to go tear it up there.
Oh, my God. That's
because I got a notification about Slava Voyanov.
He suspended. His suspension got upheld, yeah, so good. He's going to go sign the KHL.
Oh, I don't need to get into that, but that's random team and random player that I thought of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Mitch Marner is going to go play for Metallurg Magnitogorsk. Like,
anybody want to tell Mitch what the KHL is like? Has he not listened to Spit and Chicklets?
But no. Just get off your soapbox. A guy played 33 games for the organization. Nylander can wear whatever damn number he wants.
And let's also remember he's paying for the jerseys to be changed. Like,
yeah.
I mean, look, it's standard, actually, for players to do that. I remember Pavel Kubina once changed his number from 77 to 37 or something like that.
31.
Sorry, 31.
Yeah. I remember that was the golden age.
I remember people were so upset, and he offered to redo them.
How the times have changed. The people were upset.
A couple of players have done it. Nazem Kadri.
I'm just saying.
Because Nazem had
number 9 or something originally.
Yeah.
For the junior team, he was number 9.
Well, I got it right here because usually Hockey Reference has the numbers.
Let's just talk about how the times have changed with the Leafs. That people were upset back then that their Pavel could be in a jersey. Didn't have the right number on it. Now we have William Nylander and somebody's upset. No, it's just 43.
Let's see here.
That William Nylander is wearing Lindros's jersey number. Like, okay. If it's a retired number, like, why don't we talk about that? The Leafs roster is going to look a lot different because CC wears number 3. That's retired. Barry wears number 4. That's retired. Kerfoot wears 13. That's retired. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of dudes with weird looking jersey numbers on this team next year.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Just a second here. I'm trying to remember. Because I remember Kadri had changed his number.
Marner wore 93, but he had to change it because of the Lou rule. And the same thing with Nylander. Like, the only reason he wore 29 was because it was a reverse of his father's number, 92.
Yeah.
And he couldn't wear 88. 88 was always his number growing up. I think he wore, when he was in the World Juniors, I think he wore 29 as well, but that was when he was already with the Leafs.
Are we talking
about? Or 62, one of the two.
Who's that?
Nylander. He wore 62 with the Marlies.
62.
And Kadri wore 91 with the Knights after Tavares was drafted.
Yeah, because I remember Kadri was one number, then he changed it. But I don't think he had offer. I think it was when 13 he went there. I think when he went with when he was with the Marlies,
he wore something different. He always wore 43 because that was his rookie number.
Yeah, I think he wore 13 at one point. The Marlies.
Oh yeah, there's one right there with the Marlies go up.
Yeah,
right there.
You can't see
what I'm pointing at, but bottom right.
Yeah, so he did and wear 9
with the junior team. So, but this is what we're talking about in July is jersey number changes.
Oh yeah,
because there's zero news. How about the fact that Mitch Marner's holding up all the Leafs negotiations? That Kenny Agostino, Nick Shore, and Kevin Gravel have all not been announced because they're waiting for Marner to sign.
I must have missed
another guy that is like he's probably gonna be like an AHL body.
Okay,
but another league minimum guy. Kenny Agostino and Nick Shore though are the big guys that have a chance to make the team. They still haven't been announced by the team because presumably they're waiting for Mitch to sign before they get these two. And these two guys could be waiting till September to sign their deals. They could go to any other team in the league and get the same deal.
Kenny Agostino is $700,000.
See, it's on cap friendly. Yeah. They have the numbers, but the team hasn't announced dollar values. And
same as Nick
else.
Shore. Like, usually you'd wait because this one says like, unconfirmed contract details. Sorry, I hit the desk.
Like it's Nick 700. Shore. It's two $700,000 contracts.
And so $1.4 million, but that's $1.4 million in total.
Can you go down and see if Gravel's in the minors here?
Is he's a forward or
defenseman?
Yeah, right here.
Yeah. So another 700K deal. That's just, this is what we're talking about. This is, like I said to you earlier, this is peak July news. Is people getting angry over a jersey number change in July.
Well, and you just, well, I really do wonder if the Leafs try to move Nathan Horton's contract. There's two reasons why. I mean, the cap hit's not the issue.
It's on LTIR.
The issue I have is this number right here, which is your contract's number.
Yeah.
They're at 45. That's without Mitch. So you add
and
Mitch.
I'm assuming it's added in these three.
Maybe they've already added the Agostino Shore.
I think if it's in the database, they've probably added it as contracts.
We should send them a message and ask them.
Yeah. We'll find out. But, I mean, five contracts open. You have to sign. I mean, I think you've let go of every RFA except Mitch or signed them.
Yeah.
I think they let go of Baptiste and they let go of the AHL guys.
Yeah, they did.
They traded
like
Kirkkonen.
Subban. But they can bring those guys back on tryouts if they don't get anything.
But, I mean, there's so much depth on defense. They're not going to need Jordan Subban. Even though he did a job for them this year, like, there's too much young talent on the Marlies. You've got, I mean, I don't want to go into all this, but you have Sandin. You've got Liljegren. You've got, who am I forgetting right now? Mac Hollowell, Joseph Dusak, Jesper Lindgren. Like, that's 5 or 6 D right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's your defense. And there's room for guys that can come in and out of the lineup, like a Gravel.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I mean, and you look at next year.
Yeah.
Only one defenseman signed. You only have Mo.
Yikes.
And then
talk about the Marner offseason being bad. Yikes. You have to sign your entire defensive core.
But the one thing I will say though, is you'll at least have your forward core locked up.
Oh, Mo being at $5 million for another 3 years is beautiful.
Well, 2 more years after this one, he's a guy I can see that will want to stay and not, you know, and maybe not want to take the UFA route.
I'd say he'd probably sign another deal at like 6.5 or 7.
Yeah. He's going to be 20, 27, 28.
We say that as a guy that's like, he'll take a hometown discount. It's like,
but look,
no.
But we know how Mo is. That's the thing. He's been around for
years. We knew how Mitch
was
as well.
No. This is a little different because we know, first off, we've seen it both off and on the ice. But with Mitch, we don't know if it's actually him that's saying all this stuff.
It's absolutely not Mitch.
Yeah.
We can say that for certain. It's his father.
His father's
navigating his career and telling his agent because he's trying to live his success through his son like every other hockey parent does.
I mean, there's also, I know Mitch and Mike Stevens, we went on Ari Shapiro's, I mean, we didn't go on. Like Ari had a bunch of us on his, it's an interesting thing he does. He gets 5 different perspectives on a topic because he doesn't want to do a round table where it gets long and drawn out. It's kind of an interesting concept he does.
Yeah.
But Mike said an interesting thing is that this guy has always had a chip on his shoulder, and he's probably always had that since he was a kid. So maybe there is that bit of what do they call it? It's like when you're a smaller person, like
little man syndrome.
Yeah, like that. But it's not little man syndrome.
But it's not Mitch that's doing that. It's his dad that's like.
Well, his dad started it. His dad put the wheels in motion.
Be talking about his father navigating his free agency if that article with Jonas Siegel didn't come out?
Probably not.
No.
Only because of his agent.
Oh yeah. Well, Darren's run his mouth a little too much as well.
Yeah. But there's something I wanted to bring about. And before I forget, so Steve Dangle, we all know him.
Dangly.
I want to get him on the podcast along with CJ at some point this summer. And we got our lovely beeping in the studio. There's a bomb that's probably going to go off. So if this is it.
Or somebody's coffee's ready. One of the two.
No, there's something that always beeps.
No, we're good. It's off.
So we're not going to die. Steve tweeted this yesterday on July 14th. I'm staring at the Leafs roster, trying to get it to look better. Using cap, and his follow-up tweet, using cap-friendly instead of receipt paper at the zoo is a big upgrade. Steve, I get your concern. I'm not a fan of having Cody Ceci on the team, but Kyle Dubas made it clear that they needed to get a defenseman back for Zaitsev. And
I'd rather take a chance on Ceci on the top pairing at his age than Ron Hainsey playing another year at 39 years old on a first pair with Riley, because you know that's what was
happening. And only being paid him. Like, look, he's 25. I think a guy 25 is not something you get worried about.
Let's get something out of the way here, though. There's way too many fans here that think Cody Ceci is just going to magically become a different defenseman because he plays for the Leafs.
But he's going to be better than he was in Ottawa. I'm confident in that because...
Let's temper expectations, though.
He's going to have a... He's probably already working with Bob
Underhill.
Bob.
Good old Bob.
We're going to call her Barb Underhill, who's already working with Justin Brazzo.
That's somebody I wrote on a couple times next year. He'll be fun with the Marlies, I think.
Yeah. So
we'll go watch him.
I understand the Leafs' decor is not great. It's not magnificent, but it's not going to ever be perfect.
No
team is going to be perfect.
No.
Let's get this out of the way.
What's the point of this?
The St. Louis Blues were not perfect. The Boston Bruins were not perfect. Who was in the conference finals as well?
Tampa Bay Lightning looked perfect.
Tampa Bay Lightning were the closest exposed. You get to perfect, and yeah, they got exposed. You bet on certain guys meshing your system. Like Travis Dermott, when he is going to be healthy, will be good. You should be confident in that. I doubt we're going to be seeing a lot of Ben Harper.
Maybe. There's a lot of people that are not fans of Ben Harper on Twitter.
Look, he's 24. You put him down with the Marlies. Like, the one thing I also forgot is that every year, the amount of salary that comes off the book when you put a guy in the minors changes too.
You better get used to seeing Ben Harper, because there's no way Mike Babcock doesn't play him.
My question to people is, would you rather have Ben Harper or Martin Murchison?
It's literally just holding two unpinned grenades in each hand.
And just deciding at what time you want to throw. But I'm bringing you down to the non-roster defense. You've got,
I forgot about Kivihalme.
Yep.
My guy.
We forgot about the guy they signed from Finland.
Yeah, did a video montage on him.
I think, again, Liljegren. You have Borgman. You have guys that can, your top four is set. You have Riley, Ceci, maybe Dermott when he's healthy, Muzzin, Barry. That is I think that's a pretty decent top four, considering that what it was last year. Last year was Riley, Hainsey, Gardner, Zaitsev.
I see a lot of people.
What would you rather have, people? You complained that Gardner wasn't good and you wanted Gardner gone. He's gone now. He is gone now. We'll see what happens in the rest of the season.
Supposedly gone until proven otherwise.
I think there's...
There's no way they can bring him back unless he takes like a $2 million
He's going to have to take like the sweetheart of... You'll have to take the team-friendliest deal in the league. He's going to have to take the bet on myself year. And I'd take Gardner at a bet on yourself year.
But a bet on yourself year for Gardner still has to be like what he was making.
Yeah, but...
Which was what? Four and change.
Ugh. Look, you want... They changed that. I think Muzzin wasn't fully healthy at times with the Leafs last year. We saw the back wrap on him, and
Muzzin literally carried Zaitsev in the playoffs.
And he carried Zaitsev. He made Zaitsev better.
Yep.
So he's gonna have Tyson Barrie.
That's the first pairing to me. Like, I know Moe's the first pairing, but the best pairing
that is going Muzzin is going to take the harder defensive. He's gonna take the harder defensive.
He can play his role.
Yeah.
And chip in when he can. But Tyson Barrie is going to be good. He's going to want a lot of money, apparently, next summer. That'll be interesting.
$8 million is not a lot for a guy who scored 60 points. No, look at what Carlson and Brett Burns. If I'm the Leafs and if that's the contract, you know what? Sign it and make it work.
Yeah.
Now, I know that Kyle, this is the issue, in my opinion, with Kyle Dubas, is he wants to kind of see. Maybe you take a bit of a gamble. I'd rather take the gamble on a guy like Tyson Barrie, okay? If he wants eight, try to get the term to work. Or, I mean, you've scouted this guy. You've got the analytics on him. You know what he is. Are they? I guess people are trying to see what he is in the system. If he, in the first couple months, shows you that he can be a solid contributor, sign him. Even if it's for 5 years. Because then, guess what? You sign him, you've got your right side, arguably one of your top right-hand defensemen.
Yep.
And guess what? It takes the pressure off of a guy like Liljegren to not have to come up here and be your top guy. We know how hard it is to find right-handed defensemen.
Yep.
You have one now. See what he is like. If you like it, keep him. And Luke Fox was like, $8 million is now not outrageous.
No.
And considering what you're paying your forwards, that would be a almost. Now, it wouldn't be a bargain because $8 million is market value, in my opinion. But if you get eight, if he decides, I want eight, maybe he takes a little less at the Leafs give him term.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to watch how much term you're going to give him. But I look at what San Jose did. Let's also forget Tyson Barrie is 27, so it'll be 28 next year. I'd probably say max term is 5 years for him.
It's a ways away.
What I would do. I mean, with Muzzin, I'd say if Muzzin doesn't come cheaper, I'd let him go. Cody Ceci will help try to build up your value.
I think he's probably shopped as soon as Dermott's healthy.
I don't know if anyone's going to take the contract, though. That's a $4.5 million cap hit.
Or you eat the salary for a year and let him walk.
You put him on the third pairing and you just...
He's playing first pairing with Riley.
To start. But if Dermott plays better and there's issues...
I think in general, Babcock's going to... Same thing with Hainsey. He's just...
And then, I mean, Justin Hall will fill in on the third pairing, in my opinion. I think you have to see what Justin Hall can do.
We sort of know what he can do.
Because who else are you going to put? I mean, maybe Liljegren can push his way up there. I don't want to see Marichin on that third pairing.
If I ever had a say in something like that, you play Liljegren in the minors. You play Sandin in the minors. Liljegren's played half of each of his first two seasons. He's not ready yet, I don't think.
He played a full. I mean,
He's played less than 50 games in both his first two seasons. He's been injured because he missed the World after the World Juniors for a bit.
Well, he missed the World Juniors
this year, but then last year after the World Juniors, to start the season, he was injured. One of the two, either at the tail end or the start.
Yeah,
he's only played 40 something games in each of his two first years.
And
Sandin's only 19, so. He could use a year.
Yeah. So, you know.
You bite the bullet with that third pair because how much are they realistically going to play with that top four?
Yeah.
And you play them in sheltered minutes against bottom
competition. And then if you can. When it comes to the playoffs, if somebody, like, I'm looking at free agency. I would say maybe CC, they keep him around as like the salary you move out to acquire a defense. I think that's maybe where you're getting at, is if at the trade deadline you have a chance to add someone. And
CC just seems to think that he's a $5 million defenseman, though. So if,
but he's right-handed. That's why everyone he thinks that.
Yeah, I get it. There's a market for right-handed defensemen, but you also have to factor in that the results just haven't been there.
Well,
you can be a right-handed shot, but if
I also think Ottawa screwed up his development a little bit. But
yeah, he's a first-round pick. He could sure be something. I'm not saying don't look at Cody Ceci as, I don't know if a reclamation project.
I just want to pull this up for a second. These are the right-handed shot defensemen that are going to be free agents.
Mike Green.
Pietrangelo not going anywhere. I doubt he's leaving. I mean, look, if I had a choice between Barry and Pietrangelo, I'd take Pietrangelo. Imagine if Pietrangelo decides, I'm going to come to Toronto. Never know.
Then we'd have to worry about Marner getting offer sheeted by St. Louis.
Well, I mean, St. Louis would not be able
to. The next contract that comes up, I mean, not.
Oh, but he would be. It depends if he's an RFA or UFA at the end of his.
Details. They'd still offer sheet him as a UFA because, you know, revenge.
I'm looking at a guy. I'm wondering if you're seeing the same guy I'm seeing.
How far down are we talking here?
I'm talking within the top five of that list.
Oh, Kevin Miller. Oh, yeah. I think I know what you're going at.
Jared Spurgeon has a modified no trade clause, so that complicates things. Mike Green is not going anywhere. I don't want Mike Green.
No.
Just no. Justin Schultz, not going anywhere either. Jared Spurgeon is a guy. I think Minnesota is going to take a step back this year.
Yeah,
that's fair. I think Jared Spurgeon is not going to be on the Wild next year. So if you're the Wild, I mean, if you're the Leafs, you try to move the CC contract and maybe another asset or two for Spurgeon. I like that potential. If you're looking at, like, this is the year I think the Leafs could get a right-handed shot defenseman at the deadline. I think Carolina takes a step back this year. I just don't think they're going to be able to run that gauntlet like they did this year. I don't think their goaltending is going to be good enough. Because they brought Mrazek back, right?
Yes, they did. Carolina, yeah.
And they got Reimer.
Yes, and they bought out Darling.
So I'm not confident in what they're going to do. So like a guy like Justin Falk, if he's available... You have them take. We know Carolina will take the money if they can get assets. You put Falk, you trade Falk for CC and a couple of other things, for UFA. I do that. Trevor Van Riemsdyk. I doubt he's going to be moved.
This is looking a year into the future, though.
So yeah, but I'm looking at like this is where the Leafs can.
Oh, I see Luke Shen down there.
This is curious. I've always been a Luke Shen fan.
Justin
from my time
below Luke Shen on the UFA list here.
Yeah, that's because of salary.
It's sorted
by cap hit.
Okay.
Imagine Luke Shen actually has a decent season in Tampa. Although, I think he doesn't play a lot, and he might be.
Oh, my God. If he plays more than 50 games, that's a problem.
You know what? He actually didn't look bad in Vancouver. I will give him that.
I mean, he's just slow. That's the only real issue with him.
You can fix that, I think.
I mean,
he's a guy that I don't know if you ever like. This is a guy who somebody that I know, like Luke was like a student of the game. Him and his brother were like, put in a lot of work.
Not a bad player. He's just his foot speed is what's kept him from succeeding in today's NHL.
Yeah, I just think the Leafs. Maybe they're trying to not make a lot of long-term commitments because I think they feel they can make a deal. Or maybe they see guys that could be available. Like if you think you have a legitimate shot at re-signing a guy like Barry, or you take a shot out of Pietrangelo, let's say you sign Pietrangelo and you have to trade someone else, you can do it. The cap is going to go up too. With the Seattle stuff, the new U.S. TV deal will make it. Jake has said that multiple times. I think when you look at the Leafs roster, I think we're getting a little too ahead of ourselves in terms of we got to go a little younger on the blue line too. give some of these young, like, eventually, I know we want to give these guys time, but eventually these younger guys are going to have to step up.
Oh, yeah.
They've, I mean, other teams have had their younger defensemen step up. God damn it, the Bruins did. Like, Chara, yes, Chara was Chara. McAvoy was McAvoy. But you look at the rest of that roster, and they had guys, like guys we would never know, who actually played half decent for them.
The Bruins also draft guys that fit the style that their fans like, which is they hit everything and
they shoot everything. They play
defensive, yeah.
I mean, you don't want to hit everything and say, because that just...
No, but Connor Clifton, I mean...
He was an annoying little player.
Yeah, it's because he grinded people into the ground. That's why Boston fans love him.
So
he fits their MO.
I'm just saying, don't be so harsh on the roster that as it looks, because there's going to be some pro tryout deals too. I mean, there's guys who...
Devin Setoguchi.
Oh, man. I remember
Let's
that.
Let's go.
I remember that.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, this is what we talk about in July is...
Yeah. Hey, Adam McQuaid, let's do it, bud.
Okay, let's move on.
Alex Petrovic, let's do it, bud.
On to the next, let's go.
Ben Lovejoy? I give Ben Lovejoy a pro trial.
I stand up and leave, David.
Let's move on from the Leafs. I think that's a perfect time. The Blue Jays, talk about from misery one to misery number two. Couple of things about the Blue Jays here I wanted to bring up, which is Marcus Stroman's gone. Like, yep. I'm preparing for it. I don't...
He's preparing for it as well. Yeah, he took the Jays out of his profile.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's preparing for it too.
What have the Jays done to show them that? I mean, Stroman wants the Jays to, I think, commit to him.
Mm-hmm.
He wants them to prove that they want him.
Yeah.
He wants to be wanted is what I'm getting at.
And I understand that.
But it's the direction the team's going in.
But I think the team will be happy to not have those distractions. Like, look, Stroman was a decent pitcher. He was a good ambassador. He's still on the team, so we can't really, like, talk.
He is a good pitcher, and
he will get a good return.
Yep.
He will be the best asset that the team has to move.
He's also been a bit of a magnet for...
Attention that you don't want.
Bad PR.
But
just for stuff he says. It's not like he's going out and doing stupid things.
Which is why I think he'll need a team like a New York that
Yankees
will...
Yankees are the perfect fit.
Yankees honestly. Are a good fit. Maybe Minnesota will like that because it'll attract some attention.
New York, I mean, they always make moves for pitchers at the deadline.
Yeah.
They always buy at the deadline.
San Diego is a team I'd like to see because they have pitching prospects I want. Fun.
But Stroman also just... He's a New York kid.
He's a New York, but he'd love California.
Yeah, but like it's just perfect. Like mm-hmm. I could see him in pinstripes and the swagger that he has. Like they'll love that.
Yeah. So
good luck to him.
Yeah, the last thing I know we're gonna do a Blue Jays podcast this week because that's why I wanted to just touch on them quickly. I think you look at what they also have coming up too. Like Bo Bichette's still not here. Vladdy, I think if you give him something to work with around the lineup, will be better. I think he's still working his way to learning the pro game.
Yeah.
And, we'll get into more Blue Jays. I just wanted to touch on the Stroman stuff quickly. But I think we're going
to
do...
There's not a lot to say until...
We also have to give up the studio to another group. So we want to get them in there. So we will end it this week on that note. Thank you again for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And it's funny because usually in the summertime we go down from two to one pod. I mean, we haven't been doing as many, but we're going to start doing these a little more regularly because the Blue Jays will be somewhat interesting. And I think there's still stuff we want to talk about this summer. So while other podcasts might be taking a break, we will start ramping it up maybe a little bit more than what we've done in the past. So we look forward to doing more of those and we look forward to any feedback you have. We always want to hear some feedback, people. So we'll catch you guys next time.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.